everyone. This is Madam Perry.
Blog Talk Radio.
See, there she is again. Hi, this is Jennifer Perry, also known as Madam Perry. Welcome to Madam Perry Salon. I'm glad you're here. If you're listening live right now on May the 19th at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, or I think is where my friend Colin Higgin is, it is now, midnight and Liverpool time where he is, then please click the follow key there on the screen so we'll know you're following us. And, hey, it might help me get a sponsor or two to help turn a buck around here. So, my guest tonight, just so you know, if this is your first time you're listening, welcome. Madam Perry Salon began as a blog, and the name came from I've always been enamored of the literary, cultural music salons of Asia and Europe and the United Kingdom back a couple of centuries ago, where a lot of artists and musicians would meet maybe once a week or so at a patron's home and share their work, what they were working on, their works in progress, so to speak. And so when I began the blog, I usually had someone instead of just interviewing a person, I would usually have someone else as a co-interviewer to give it more of a conversational feel. And now I've taken it to the airwaves. The airwaves with Madam Perry Salon here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight's a music show. Well, it's music and words, actually. My guests are a musician, producer, TV host. He's an adjunct professor. And a recent felon, actually, and also that's Joey Stecky, and also a music journalist, arts and entertainment editor of Mountain Express Magazine, and a lady with a brand new book out, Allie Marshall. So stay right there, and let my husband do the intro music, and I'll be right back. Good evening. This is Madam Perry, Jennifer Perry here at Madam Perry Salon. Let me welcome my fabulous guest for tonight. She started off in New York, but now she's in North Carolina, arts and entertainment editor, manager, Tsarina and Empress at Mountain Express Magazine. And she also has a new book out. We're going to talk about the fabulous Allie Marshall. Welcome, Allie.
Thank you.
And am I pronouncing it correctly? We've talked only in messages and emails.
Pronouncing Allie?
Yes.
Yes, that's correct.
Hey, these days it can't be too sure, so thank you.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, anyway, as much as you and I have been communicating in emails and cyberspace and Twitter lately and Facebook, I sure is glad to hear your voice. And welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me be part of it.
I'm delighted to have you here. And you saw where my husband took a picture when he was reading the article about you today in his car, so I could put it on Facebook.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. But anyway, I know you've had a pretty rollicking weekend, so I'm going to give you just a moment to rest. I hope you've got a glass of water or tea or whatever. And I'm going to introduce my other guest. And this is a fellow I have known of for a long time, but we finally met about this time last year. He's a native of Macon, Georgia. I hear a lot of noises in there. That better not be you, Joey.
It's not me. I'm behaving.
Okay. He's a musician, a producer, he is a professor at Mercer University, I believe.
Mercer, that's right.
An adjunct professor at Mercer. He hosts a television show And recently, he just got back from a trip to the UK, a tour that he's going to tell us all about. And, of course, as I said before, you know, I put out a little bit of crisis PR about you on Facebook. And I did. I did. And I put it out in the standard crisis PR method by asking the question that you want to give your own answer to, such as, was it wrong? Oh, sure. Did he mean to do it? Oh, of course not. You know, but haven't we all made a mistake? Sure. So that's where
you made more than one mistake.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
If you're worth knowing, you have, yeah.
That's right.
So that's that was your video for Blind Man Driving, where you...
It was.
We've been putting that everywhere, and it's on a couple of other stations, too, online stations, where you... It's a doggone thing. Musicians just sometimes, you know, people think that everybody gets everything they want. But, you know, Allie, you can tell us, too. There seems to be... the arts don't really have much of a middle class. You're either dirt poor and struggling, or you can afford to tear up the hotel room. But there's not a lot in between, is there? Allie, do you agree?
I would say that it's largely middle class these days, but I definitely I know what you're talking about with the historically, I think there has been a pretty huge difference.
Yeah, okay, you're right, and I'm probably a little behind on my a little behind on my information, which is another reason why it's good to have you here for our edification. And that was, yes, that was the word of the day yesterday on the email I get every day to edify. So, it's an educational show. So with the video, I love it because it says, you know, this poor Joey, and he's trying to get to a gig, and nobody's picked him up, and they're telling him, you know, just get here, and he's like, well, I'm fine. Blind. So he carjacks the lady's BMW to get to the gig.
I think carjacking is a farly, you know, just very underrated pastime. More people should get into it. It helps you work out. You meet people. I mean, it's something that everybody
people.
Should try at least once. Yeah, I mean, you know.
Was that
I mean,
the first
not like
time
I had
you ever
a,
did it, Joey?
Yeah, it was. You know, actually, it's the first serious music video I've ever done at all, And as a blind person, you know, I just really never cared about the medium. I mean, what do I care about a music video when I just buy the record? You know, so yeah. So it's the first one I ever did. Most of my music videos are you know, friends or fans or whatever taking, you know, cell phone videos of us on stage somewhere or something like that. I mean, that's most of the videos that I have out. So I just felt like a lot of things came together at the right time to make this song, Blind Man Driving. I went to the United Kingdom and did a tour there, but one of the things I did was teach and speak at the University College of London about visually impaired musicians and how to be successful and how to make sure that, you know, everyone has access to music education no matter what your particular, you know, ilk in life, whether you're blind or whether you're, you know, physically challenged some other way or whatever, and you don't have to be physically handicapped in any way. I mean, it could be making sure that children in the school system have music education. I mean, it could be a financial limitation, but that's what I talked about, and so that just all sort of came together. And last year, about this time, I was in California with a dear friend of mine, and she's just the sweetest person you'd ever meet, and she said to me, "Do you want to drive this four-wheeler?" And I was like, okay. So I did, and the very first thing I did, and this video is also on YouTube, by the way, the very first thing I did was almost flip the thing over. Clearly, it's a bad idea for a blind guy to be driving anywhere, honestly. I mean, even, you know, and there was this pond that I almost went into and all this stuff. It really is a pretty fun 3 minutes if you look it up. But all these things came together, and I realized that I wanted to have a vehicle to tell stories. There's my first pun of the day, by the way, vehicle. I wanted to have a vehicle to tell stories about the song Blind Man Driving. And one of the things that I really care about, and you know this, Jennifer, because it's, you know, you've known me, and we were instant friends when we met. But one of the things I really care about is making sure people understand that it's okay to laugh at your own expense. It's okay to, you know, I think laughter is a good medicine, and I encourage people to laugh with me about some of the sort of, you know, things that can happen to you when you're blind. I have a ton of funny stories, you know, about things that happened because I was blind and, you know, awkward situations. And I think I just want to make sure people know that it's okay to laugh. You shouldn't feel like I'm different or that I'm too sensitive. I mean, you know, I want to make sure that message gets out. So that's part of the mission of Blind Man Driving, is to say, hey, you know what? I'm blind. It's cool. We can laugh about it. It's all good. So anyway, I didn't mean to ramble on so much, but yeah, that's the thing.
Oh, and by the way, have you two met before, Joey and Allie?
We have not.
No, I don't think so.
But Allie sounds gorgeous.
She is.
So there you go. She sounds, I mean, I think of her as sort of a Marilyn Monroe type figure. Don't ask me how Marilyn Monroe looks like. It's kind of a dirty story.
Says the blind guy.
Yeah, I know. I mean, look, it took some doing, and it was a little tricky, and I really did have to learn to shovel quickly. But I know what Marilyn Monroe feels like.
Hold it down. And by the way, I've been to her the place where she's interred, and no, it's a vault, marble vault. So anyway, you're thinking of me, Joey, when you first met me and wanted to know what I looked like. That's what you're thinking
of. I knew
of.
It was something like that. Same thing.
Because
actually,
Allie, the joke here was that even though I was voted the ugliest girl in school in 7th grade, in the 90s, I worked as a professional Monroe impersonator. So
That's great.
Never know where life will go. Yeah, I did Monroe and Madonna. I did an agent talked me into doing Dolly Parton once, but I never did it again. It's rough on the back.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, no.
I mean, where's my pocket rim shot? So, but actually, yes, she is. I've been looking at pictures and things to put up. Every picture of Allie is beautiful, and she's blonde, blue-eyed, gorgeous.
That's sort of unfair.
I know. Well, down boy, you're married. So anyway.
I know.
But what I want to say too is, since you're telling a story about driving the four-wheeler, and by the way, your friend that suggested you do that, was she having any financial problems at the time? I'm just saying,
that's a good question.
You know, was your insurance adjuster nearby? I don't know.
You know, honestly, she is so cool. Her name is Kimberly Dawn, and Kimberly and her entire family are just amazing people. They are just have an embarrassment of riches as far as just how smart they are and just how sweet they are. And she genuinely just, yes, ma'am.
The woman tried to have you killed just to pay off her mortgage, okay? So I don't want to hear all this, okay? We got other things to talk about.
You're probably right. I mean, now that I think about it.
The story I was trying to get to was, God, that made me feel like Nancy Grace. But the story I was trying to get to before we go further, just so people know that you really are blind, and about the funny stories, is tell me about the story of when you were on gigging with your band and on stage and the gal dancing in front of you.
Oh, yeah. So that's true. Back in my youth, but when I was a young musician just starting off, we were playing in a college town, And the girls there tended to get pretty drunk. We were playing a gig, and I was singing the Steve Miller song called The Joker. And I love, there's this line in The Joker that I just think is hilarious. And it's, I really love your peaches, want to shake your tree. And I just find that highly amusing. And so whenever I sing that line, I just really smile a lot because it just cracks me up. And I really emphasize those lines because at heart I'm I'm Schmucky the Clown. This girl, I didn't know it, but there was a girl out there sort of dirty dancing and give me signals that she wanted to take me home for the evening. And of course I had no idea. And so I'm sitting there smiling and, you know, being very flirtatious, but it's just because that part of the song. So we played about three or four more songs, and then we got off stage to take a break, and this girl comes up to me and just lights into me, just furious, and just like, you know, who do you think you are, and what do you think? I'm like, whoa, what's going on? You know, what are you talking about? She's like, I'm over there dancing and smiling for you, and you flirt with me, and then I start, you know, showing you this and that and all this stuff, and you stopped, you just started ignoring me, and I'm like, lady, I'm blind, and she's like, whatever, and my friend's like, no, he's blind, she's like, whatever, just, you know. And just was very, very unhappy. So anyway, it was pretty funny.
She didn't buy it.
She didn't believe it at all, which, honestly, if I had to pick Whether people were uber sensitive to the fact that I was blind or whether they forgot about it, I would take the latter. And that's actually what happens a lot. People are like, oh, man, I forgot you can't see. And that just says that my parents did a good job, you know, teaching me how to cope. And that's I appreciate that. So,
your mother told me, she said, you know, we told them, Joey, the world's not going to adjust to you. You're going to have to adjust to the world. So
that's exactly what she said. Yeah, absolutely. And it's true. And I think that's a good thing. You know, knowing your limitations, this is kind of the crux of my talk, really, when I do it. But knowing your limitations is very important. I think being self-aware is very important. But not defining yourself in terms of those limitations is the crucial key, you know, the key to that. So, yes, know your limitations, understand what they are, know what you have to do to compensate, but then don't think of yourself as limited, you know, and that's the important part. But, yeah, man, I love it. I mean, I've had so many adventures, and I wouldn't change a thing.
All right. Well, let's talk about Allie Marshall. You've had a lot of adventures. Now, how long have you been a music journalist, first of all?
Well, I've been writing about music and art I started writing at the Mountain Express in 2003, full-time.
Mm-hmm.
So
did you always want to work, write in arts, entertainment, and music, or did you have another plan in mind and just detoured?
I'm not sure that I really had that much of a plan. I'd finished grad school. I actually studied poetry. I have an MFA in creative writing and had been trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I'd been kind of thinking about teaching, and I was working at a hotel at the time, and I submitted an essay to the Mountain Express. Of course, the Mountain Express doesn't just publish unsolicited essays, but the arts and entertainment editor at the time offered me some freelancing work. So that's kind of how I got into working for the Mountain Express. And as far as journalism, that's my entire journalism background is right there. I have done some freelancing for other, like, culture and music magazines, such as Blurt and Shuffle and Our State magazine, and just various different publications like that.
And so when you did start doing freelance work first for Mountain Express, and then how long was it until you became you're the arts and entertainment editor? Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. So.
Yeah. So I actually started freelancing there in about 2001. Came on staff full time in 2003, and I've been the editor for about a year and a half now.
That's
so
fantastic.
I was a staff reporter in the meantime.
And see, I had been reading about you before I ever met you for a long time, because I'm kind of a semi-Asheville-ian.
Right.
Now, I understand. Now, see, what does it say? You have a new book, because you've interviewed some pretty interesting people, and some may be well-known, some maybe not, but you've interviewed a lot of interesting people, and I'm sure that you really run the gamut as far as maybe an easy or not so easy interview or something that are really enjoyable. How did you determine to work as a – how did you decide to start the book, or had this been in your mind for a while?
I've been interested – I'd actually been trying to write a novel for a while. I'd started drafts of maybe 10 different novels over the years and gotten through a good first draft on each of those, but just never really felt inspired enough by the idea to go into the editing phase and get it polished and see it all the way through. So I don't remember exactly what year it was, but my husband and I had taken a trip to Concord, Massachusetts, and gone to see all the writers' homes up there, which is just so wonderful and so inspiring. And we were actually in Nathaniel Hawthorne's home, and I was complaining about, oh, I'm never going to be able to, like, be a novelist, and I really want to be, and it's so cool to be here and, like, see the writing desks of all these wonderful, famous writers. And he said, well, I think that you should just try to write something that's just really artistic and something that is meaningful to you, and not try to write something that's genre fiction or that you think might sell or that an agent is necessarily going to pick up. Just write whatever you're inspired by. And yeah, so that kind of one thing led to another, but that was early on the impetus for this book.
I like his advice. I like your husband.
Yeah, he's a great guy. And he's from Macon, Georgia.
Is he?
Yep, sure is.
Macon. How did you meet?
How cool is that?
Yeah.
I knew I liked him, but now.
Now, how does a gal from New York end up married to somebody from Macon? That's what I just want to know, how you met.
Well, we met in the middle in Asheville. The hotel that I mentioned where I was working when I first started freelancing was the Grove Park Inn. I was working there in the publicity department, and he was working in the guest services department. And we bonded over a love of literature and Van Morrison and have been together ever since. Yeah.
Van Morrison's a good if you can't feel romantic feelings after listening to Van Morrison, something's wrong.
Yeah. I totally agree. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you heard his new album, by the way? It's really good.
I have not, but I'm glad to hear it's good because you know, anyone who loves Van Morrison knows that it's like hit or miss.
There are days that you listen to Van Morrison and you think, Van, take the beer bottle out of your mouth. You know, I don't know what you're doing. What's happening? But this, I was really expecting him not to sound good, frankly. As much as I love him as a songwriter and a musician, I was really expecting this album to be pretty bad because it's called, I think if I remember correctly, it's called Reworking the Catalog or something like that. And it's him doing duets with a bunch of, you know, people, including, I believe, his daughter. But he sounds absolutely amazing. I was just so excited when I heard it. And I was like, well, I'll click on it. I kind of felt, you know, I was a little, felt, you know, sort of nervous about it. I was like, this is good. And it was so good. I bought it. I've listened to it a bunch of times, and it's awesome. So, and that's, I actually close most of my shows by playing Moondance.
That's great.
Yeah, so I'm and I also do a crazy, really interesting sort of smooth funk version of Domino. So anyway, you're already in my circle of friends now. If you love Van Morrison, we're good.
Perfect.
But I have a question, Allie, if you don't mind, Jennifer, if I ask this.
Please.
Since you write a lot about musicians and stuff, I mean, do you play music? Are you a musician as well?
I'm not a musician in any real sense. I've taken a lot of different instrument lessons and dabbled a little bit in writing songs, and I can play the ukulele badly, but I'm married to a musician, so I feel like my life is surrounded by musicians on all sides.
I just think that's really cool because I would think that you would have to have some kind of great passion and just a little bit of knowledge, you know, to make your music journalism, you know, powerful. And because, I mean, I nobody would hire me to write about, you know, paintings because I clearly have no reference. So I mean, that would be the worst. It's great. I like the texture of the canvas. It feels good. Feels oily. We're good. So, I mean, yeah, that's all you get out of me. But I just thought that it would be, you know, I was wondering if you had that because I've written for, you know, several, like, online webzines and stuff. And most of my articles are sort of geeky, you know, tech stuff, about the nuts and bolts of the music business, how it works and stuff like that. And so, you know, but if I don't know that I would be good at writing something I didn't have experience in. So I was curious about that because clearly you've got a great passion for it. That's great.
Well, I don't write technical stuff about music and I'm fine with the term music journalist because I think that it helps the most people have a sort of ballpark idea of what I do. But in terms of music writing, the actual music writing that I do, I mean, I interview musicians in advance of shows, and then I write reviews of shows and albums. But I feel like review is even stretching what I do. I kind of discovered writing about music for myself as a form of inspiration, like an inroad to creative writing. And I really don't write about the technicality of what's happening on stage or on the album at all. It's a lot more about my personal interaction with the music, whether it's live or on recording. And I try to convey to my readers what the emotional experience of the music is and why I feel like they should check it out for themselves. But yeah, I really tend to stay away from the technicality because that's definitely not my strength.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what you're doing is the important stuff. What you're doing is the important stuff. I mean, how you connect to the music spiritually is what it's all about. And all this technical stuff is either to help you monetize, you know, your music so you can keep doing it, or just to help you be a better creative person. And I tell my students all the time, the goal is to train our bodies and our minds to get out of the way of the spirit of music. And that's what we're trying to accomplish. So I think that's awesome. That is very cool.
Yeah. Well, I like what you just said anyway. I like that idea about getting out of the way of anything, really. I kind of think that ultimately that's what art is about. It's a great way for getting away from our minds and experiencing something with, you know, our hearts and souls.
And we need that. We need it, mm-hmm. I think, now more than ever. And Jennifer, I'm not trying to steal the show, but I do have more questions.
No, I want this to be a conversation. This is Madam Perry's Salon, and it's a conversation.
Well, I just want to tell you what a brilliant idea that is, by the way. Madam Perry's Salon is absolutely – I feel like I'm Voltaire or something back in the Enlightenment days. But I – except without the syphilis. But I wondered if you know, Asheville is such a cool place, you know, musically. I can't remember. I remember reading somewhere, I think, that it had the most music festivals of anywhere in the United States or something. But is it primarily like folk music, or what kind of stuff do you experience in Asheville when you're writing up there? I mean, what kind of genre do you got? Do you have it, like, is it very eclectic, or is there a certain, like, sort of wheelhouse that you have?
Asheville, in terms of music, is very eclectic. I think probably, if you broke it down, I'd say that maybe more bands than not are really inspired by folk and roots traditions. I mean, this area is so rich in mountain music and everything that fed into that, from the Scots-Irish and, you know, African music and everything that created Appalachian music and old time, you know, ballad singing. All of that stuff is still very much alive here, and the people here who are inspired by that are really looking into interesting ways to incorporate it with modern sounds and
cool.
Keep that alive. Yeah, so I think that's really great, but I mean, there's also so much going on with electronic music. Of course, Moog music is here, so that's kind of a big inspiration to anyone who's interested in electronic music. And then they do really cool things with their Moog Sound Lab, where they'll pull in, like, a folk musician, like the Tallest Man on Earth, and have him perform one of his songs for a video all on Moog instruments, which is crazy.
How cool.
You know? Yeah,
oh, man,
super cool stuff like that. Yeah.
I want so desperately to own a big, nice. I've got some plugins that synthesize some of Moog sounds pretty well, but you know, they actually. About a year ago, they made one of their smaller synthesizers, and I forget which one it is now, but they actually made a Braille overlay for the knobs. So you could place this Braille overlay over the knobs, and so all the knobs were labeled in Braille. And I forget which synth it was, but when I looked to buying one, because I've always wanted, you know, Moog. I mean, I love that. I mean, that's just the classic stuff. And I've always wanted to buy one, and I looked into it. Oh. I still, you know, let's see, my wife's got to have a new pair of shoes. Joey needs to eat. The synthesizer will have to wait. But I love
what
that
What kind
stuff.
Of shoes is she wearing? Christian Louboutins or Manolo Blahnik? Jeez.
She likes Clarks, which are not horribly expensive. But, you know, my wife is, I am the worst shopper in the world, because I like to look. I like to take my time. I like to explore. I mean, I can shop for hours and hours and hours. My wife goes in and literally in about 20 minutes has decided whether she wants anything or whether she doesn't. Sometimes she leaves the store, and you're not going to believe this, but she leaves the store without buying anything, which
Get
is something
out.
I find hard to do. I know. But,
and
you know,
she calls herself
really
a woman.
Well, you know, I've often wondered if maybe she's some sort of super hybrid human. She might be.
That's great.
She might be the next evolution of mankind as we know it. But she's amazing, and she'll find deals that will blow your mind. Like, I mean, you guys know, I mean, boots are not cheap, and leather boots even less so. And my wife found a pair of two-tone pink cowboy boots when I was on tour in Texas in the Gaylord Texan Hotel, and you know those big hotels mark up all the prices like 100%. And she found a pair of boots for like $60.
Wow.
Were they for you or for her?
They were for her.
Oh, okay.
But she is like the shopper. But anyway, yeah, she's absolutely amazing. But yeah, she does like to wear. She has a huge. Her one weakness is shoes. So she does have a massive shoe collection.
All right. Well,
sadly, I don't have my foot's too big, so we can't share.
Oh. All right, Joey. You promised you wouldn't go into that, okay? So.
Oh yeah. That's for later.
It's like you have to see, Allie, when I have my band, the Jennifer Perry Combo, which we used to play out a lot, and I had such great players, you know, I said, I felt sometimes more like, not the band leader, but I was more like the headmistress at a school for very gifted and yet very mischievous musicians.
Right.
Okay. All right. So, we still got to talk about how to talk to rock stars. But we've got
yes.
a call coming in, and Joey, I think it is your wife calling in. So just a moment to see.
Oh, good.
Hi, well, this is Madam Perry. You are Madam Perry Salon. Who is this?
This is Tom. Not exactly his wife.
You know, Tom, you are in many ways we are married, my friend. In many ways.
Okay,
I mean,
oh,
Joey,
I'm the first
to say your book was
show.
Not that great.
Okay,
oh, I'm sorry.
So, and I don't mean the Hefner family. So, first of all, why don't you introduce Tom to everyone?
I would love it. That's a great pleasure. This Tom is a man that I've met one night on the side of the road. Tom is one of the greatest friends I've ever had and one of the greatest musicians that I know. And he has been a member of the Joey Stuckey Band for longer than any of us want to remember. And you know, he started me back in 2010 for the very first time I actually co-wrote with somebody. And I was very leery to do that. A lot of times when you try to co-write or you try to do stuff like that, you have one person kind of ends up doing all the work and all that kind of stuff. But I love Tom so much as a person and respect him so much as a musician that we've been saying, man, we need to write together. And we didn't even know what we were going to write. We didn't know if it was going to be rock or jazz or what. We didn't know. And all of a sudden, we just started having these amazingly creative, like just powerfully creative sessions. And eventually those sessions became the Mixture album, which I'm really proud to say was number 9 on the CMJ Top 40 Jazz charts for about 5 weeks in a row back in 2013. So Tom and I, you know, got together for that, and we have just a lot of mutual respect, and we both are just nuts. And Tom and I both love good puns or bad puns, I suppose. A bad pun is a good pun, right, Tom?
Mm-mm.
That's true.
Yeah. So, but okay. I'm glad Tom called in because I mean he is an amazing piano player, super smart guy, you know, for technical stuff as far as music technology, and we actually have just joined forces again to start producing his next record. So good timing.
Oh, okay. Well, that's word on the street. So why don't you tell? So now that you've told us, you know, I think since Tom called, and Tom Rule, thank you for calling, and I hope you stay on too to listen. To hear about Allie Marshall's new book, and why don't you tell us why did you call Tom? Because I think we've all forgot by now.
Yeah, I think Tom. Let's see, I gave you $20, right? So I think you're supposed to say Joey is awesome, and then we're supposed to.
I think I was supposed to say Joey taught me everything I know, or some lie like that.
Oh yeah,
that. Yeah.
Oh, and he taught me how to dress, and he also taught me how to pick up chicks. So I taught you all that stuff.
Yeah, right.
You've been happily married for how long?
33 years this year. That's
so
right.
So I did okay. Even before I met you, I was teaching you.
Now, Joey and I go back to when he was knee-high to a grasshopper, seems like. It was back in 91 or 92 when I first moved to Macon from Tennessee. And he was working at a studio, and I had a class, and I brought some students down from the local college. And that's where we first met, and fast forward several years, he needed a keyboard player, and I said, sure, why not? And then that's a decision I'll always regret. I mean, I'll never regret. And but we have had, you know, the whole co-writing process was absolutely amazing. In retrospect, looking back, when we went into it, we really did say to each other for 3 years, you know, we ought to write something just to see what would happen. And because he had called me in on a couple of projects that he was producing in the studio, and we just had had fun. It wasn't like work. It was fun. And so it was in, I guess, 2012, we finally said, look, let's just set some time and let's just do it. So Friday, I was open on Fridays for my teaching schedule, and we started writing. We had no intention of creating an album. We were just going to see what happened. And about six tunes in, we realized, you know, this could be an entire album. So it was really cool. It was
nice.
A lot of fun.
That's a good story, Tom. I'm so glad you called. Now, oh, by the way, Tom, are you listening online? Did you click the follow button?
No, I'm strictly on the phone right now.
Okay, all right. Just
Joey
kind of forgot
a lot.
Joey kind of forgot to tell me where this was happening online. So
I didn't have the link myself until like an hour and a half ago.
Yeah. Hey, I got a Joey story. If you've got a minute,
I don't know, Allie, do we have a minute for a Joey story?
Oh, sure, of course.
It better be good.
Okay.
No,
you know,
pressure.
You know Joey's blind, right? So I'm.
I know he
I'm
pretends
in there.
To be.
Well, there's
okay,
that's another story for another day. So I'm crawling around behind the studio working on some wiring because something had gone awry. And without thinking, it's in a dark corner. Without thinking, I say, Joey, you got a flashlight? Okay. Here's the sighted guy asking the blind guy where the flashlight is, and dang, if he didn't know where it was, got up and got it and handed it to me. And then I realized what I had done, and I started cackling.
You know, I just try to help you, Tom. I'm just here to be your helpmate.
Fun stuff.
But it's true. But you know, Tom has been a great source of support as well, because there was a time that I was in a wheelchair, and I don't quit. You know, whatever happens, I just keep on trucking. I like to tell people I'm too dumb to quit. And there were some bad days where we had to perform, and I was just sick as a dog and in a wheelchair. And we went to this one, Tom, I'll never forget this. We went to this one venue, and it was a theater in a small Georgia town, and there was no way to get up to stay onto the stage except for Tom and my dad to literally pick me up and carry me up there. And he did that without a second thought, and that's the kind of friend he's as great a musician as he is a greater friend. That should tell you what kind of musician he is, because he's just been a good friend, and I'm blessed to know him.
Friend,
and his lovely
indeed.
Wife is and his wife is amazing musician as well. We should probably say that. But
well,
I appreciate you calling in, Tom. Thank you for doing that.
Tom, thank you very much.
Well,
and his
thanks.
New album, his new album is going to be called, it should be called Christmas, and it should be coming
out.
It'll be called
Christmas. It'll be coming out this fall.
Yeah.
All right, great.
We can
come back and talk about it and play it.
Would love to. Would definitely love to.
All right, good.
Thanks for calling, buddy.
Hey, thanks, Tom.
Take care, man. All right, I'll listen to the rest.
Oh. Hey. All right, now it's Allie's turn. I'm going to be quiet for about 10 minutes and let Allie, like, wax philosophical now.
Okay. So, first of all, let's ask a few questions. Now, all this time you've been a very, very popular and very respected writer, music journalist. And like I said, I've been in Asheville since around the end of 2009. And so, you know, I know of you. Never thought I'd get to actually meet you like this. This is pretty cool.
A virtual meeting, right?
Yeah, right. Hey, that's the way of the future. So first of all, for me, it's an honor to get to know you like this, and one day we'll end up in the same place. But who knows? We keep trying.
I know we keep almost. It almost happens. So I think we're close.
Now I know for sure the last couple of weeks, or at least the last week, 10 days, maybe 2 weeks, you've been on a pretty whirlwind tour with your book, and it's not over yet.
No, it's kind of just begun.
It's like you did this thing, Malaprops, which is a very well-known bookstore in Asheville.
Mm-hmm.
You had
right,
an event
that was the launch.
And then you, next thing you're in, you, it's pretty much like you leave like a rock star. You get in a car and you take off for, where'd you go, Richmond?
To Richmond, yep, that's right. That was on Saturday.
And, well, keep on. Don't make me, it'll sound better coming from you.
Oh, well, that's all there's been so far. Because Friday was the launch. So Richmond on Saturday, and then because I'm working full-time, my dates are really just kind of extended weekends or, you know, a Friday or Saturday here and there. But I'll be in Hendersonville, North Carolina at the Fountainhead Bookstore this Saturday, and my husband Tim is going to be performing some music since
cool.
the book has such a music theme. Yeah, I'm trying, when I can, when it works for the bookstores, to bring a musician along to play a little bit of music before the reading and discussion get started.
What's the name of your husband's band?
Well, his most recent band was called Noonday Feast,
uh-huh.
but he's been in quite a few bands over the years.
All right, so that'll be cool then to have him there to play. And having a husband musician, yeah, I know that's very valuable. So that'll be in Henderson this week.
Yeah, Hendersonville this Saturday, and then... then actually a little bit of time off because my birthday is the following week, so I'm going to take a little break and celebrate
wait,
that.
Wait.
I'm actually
What day is your birthday?
The 27th.
Oh, mine's the 29th.
Oh, nice. Well, happy early birthday, fellow Gemini.
I knew I liked you for a reason. I knew there was a reason I liked you. Okay, I'm sorry. I promised I wouldn't interrupt, but I did.
No, that's great. I think I'm actually going to celebrate on the 29th. A band that I really like, drum and guitar duo from Brooklyn called Crushed Out. They're going to be
great.
Performing in Asheville on Friday. And so I'm trying to get them to let me crash their show and turn it into my own birthday party.
That sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah,
right, so.
I mean, if I bring cake, right?
Right, you got cake.
Look, cake is always payment.
Exactly.
There are several small countries that take cake instead of bill. I mean, that's good.
Cake
that's good to know.
In the door. I had a drummer that was, he thought there was cake. I remember playing at an event where there was food, and the keyboardist goes, "Does Omar know there's cake here?" You know, I said, "No, don't tell him until don't let him know until the break, okay?" And
I've got a drummer like that too.
So what we'll do is we'll have a is it Omar? Joey?
No, my drummer.
Okay.
Oh.
Omar Martinez. Okay. Wait. So get back to Allie.
Yeah.
What we'll all do is the band is called Crashed.
Oh, Crushed Out.
Crushed Out. So what we're going to do is, everybody listen, go to the Crushed Out, find their website and their Twitter, and say, "Can't wait for you to come to Asheville. I hope Allie Marshall's having a book event there at the same time." You know, put the pressure on. Put the social media pressure.
No book event. I'm going to be totally, totally not working. I just want to be celebrating.
Oh, okay. So have a birthday party there. Got it. Now, let's
see.
I've got – so you're going to be – okay, Fountainhead Books in Hendersonville, North Carolina, this Saturday, May 23rd. Friday, June the 5th, you're going to be at Joe's Place in Greenville.
Yep, that's right. And then at Avid Books in
Athens,
yeah,
Georgia.
Closer to you. Yep, in Athens.
Yes, because I'm off of Highway 78, so I'm halfway between not halfway, but yeah, Avid Bookstore in Athens. So why don't you come on into Decatur or Atlanta for something
like
that?
And Macon.
I'll tell you. Well, we tried to get something set up at Macon. We really, really tried to work something out with Golden Bough because Tim has really fond memories of that bookstore, but it just didn't happen. So we're kind of putting Macon on the back burner for right now.
Okay.
And
what about
Atlanta?
I got a plan, Joey. Hold on.
I have a book manager who's working on some other dates going forward. And so Atlanta's in the plans, and some more Piedmont and North Carolina coming up.
Okay. Well, Joey,
I'm going to offer Allie my studio. If you want to come to a book signing at the studio, it's all yours. So you just let me know sometime.
Wow.
Okay, great. Yeah. Well. Is Facebook a good way to be in touch with you, or?
Yeah, you know what? Facebook is perfectly fine. My phone reads it about 90% correct.
Okay. No confusing words for the phone.
Just make sure you put spaces, you know, and don't think that I don't know acronyms. So, I mean, I even know the NATO alphabet, so don't think, to, you know, be careful with those acronyms. But, yeah, no, I mean, seriously, I would love for you to come down and do that, because that's what we're all about here at the studio, is trying to be creative and help other creative people, and I would love to have you come do that. And I've
that
got
sounds awesome. Thank you.
Oh, man. Listen, and I we'll talk. We'll talk after Facebook. I have just come up with a master plan, so we'll talk.
Ooh, Joey,
okay, all right. That's great.
Feel the energy. See, Allie, am I the fairy godmother or what? So,
she is.
Definitely. I would say so.
I'm your Auntie May, the Rosalind Russell version. So,
yeah, know her, love her.
I've been to, thank you. I did an Ignite speech about Auntie May, but in Asheville at the Gray Eagle, actually. But what we could do is, so Joey's got his studio, and I've been to his studio. It's fantastic. He also does his TV show there. That's on
that's
the
true.
Local, was it on the NBC affiliate?
Really?
NBC,
cool.
So
yeah.
If you're in town, the right, if we can set it up, you can be on the show too. So we can,
oh,
we can do it all.
That would be so much fun. That sounds
and
great.
And her musician husband?
Absolutely. Bring them all.
be like homecoming week there.
It
yeah.
would be. And then Jennifer could come to her Marilyn Monroe. She can reprise her role as Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah. I think
and
Marilyn,
she can jump out of
if
the cake
she
for
lived
it.
To be a senior citizen, that's who I'd be.
Hey. I understand. I mean, I know what you mean. Like, you know, fat Elvis is not as cool as younger Elvis. I understand.
I'm not doing fat Elvis. I'm just doing Marilyn.
Yeah. No, I'll do fat Elvis. I
the later years.
I build myself as Joey Stuckey, sexiest Elvis with half the fat.
Oh.
So that's.
Okay, so you'll take care of Allie Marshall. And Allie, you tell your book person. I know you didn't hire me. You hired, you know, you got a friend or somebody else you hired to do it. You're paying them like $5,000. But you tell them to go ahead and call me.
Okay.
Allie, talk to me.
No.
I know I'm going right ahead of you here. But, yeah, have your person call me, and we can set up, work that out with Joey is so generously offering to do this, and he is not a man who makes offers lightly.
I'm absolutely serious.
He cuts up on here like I do, but we're very serious about helping
yeah.
and believing in the golden rule. We really do. And then I'll be happy
yeah.
to get you closer into Decatur and Atlanta.
That sounds now, great.
And Allie, what you know? How to Talk to a Rock Star? That's an amazing title. If that doesn't suck somebody into just like I got to know more, I mean that's a wonderful title. What?
Thank
how did you,
yeah.
come up? Yeah. How did you come up with that? What was the impetus for that title? And how much is that title reflected in what you know what the book offers?
Well, you know, that's several questions, but let's see. I don't remember exactly when the title occurred to me, but I feel like I knew pretty early on in writing the book that was what it was. The way the book is structured, it's kind of based around, there's a lot of different parts in it where the main character, whose name is Bryn, is interviewing various musicians. But the whole thing is really based around one really important interview to her with a musician. His name is Jude Archer, and she becomes kind of obsessed with his album, and they end up becoming friends. So it kind of moves back and forth through time with her getting ready for this interview, and there's different parts of it scattered throughout. And so that's sort of where the name came from. She also, she's a really shy person, so she has a lot of rules for how to conduct these interviews. And, you know, how to talk to rock stars. So even though it's not a how-to book, it does have these lists of, like, how to do this and that throughout.
So
is she getting cyber-stalking?
What's that, cyber-stalking? There's no cyber-stalking, no.
Wait.
Okay.
All right, so this is a novel. It's not a tutorial.
Correct.
Okay. Well, we know it's a novel. So is the character Bryn, you know we're going to think that she's based on a little bit of you.
Yeah, you know, I actually had a phone conversation with my dad this morning who's reading the book. That's a very strange experience, by the way, to have my dad read my book. And that was the first thing he asked. He's like, how much of this is autobiographical? And I was like, well, the storyline is not autobiographical at all. I mean, I used some interview questions that I've actually used in real life, and some of the characters have little bits and pieces of people I know or have interviewed, but the thing that is autobiographical is some of the emotions around music, like the experience of listening to music and loving a band and like being a teenager and the way music's so important. And then as you get older, how your relationship to it changes, but it still remains important and has that incredible power to bring you back to a place and time. Like, I feel like some of that is autobiographical, but the storyline is definitely not.
And I'm now reading a pirated copy on the internet right here. And I think you should make sure that you tell your dad the part about the sheep is not autobiographical.
Oh, Joey,
make sure
stop
you.
Joey,
I'm sorry.
I think that's somebody else's book that you're reading.
Yeah, you're thinking about.
Well, it could be. Oh, wait, this is not the right website.
Joey,
okay,
this is not Tom Rule's book, okay?
Oh, Tom's book is called How I Met an Idiot. that's his book. It's about meeting me. Yeah.
A pirated copy. So how long did it take you to write the book, Allie?
I think I probably spent about a year writing it, and then there were some revisions. I finished it in 2013. So I wrote it 2012 and 2013.
So I wonder sometimes, you know, what I don't want to make assumptions about everything, is that usually makes me look even stupider. But I'm sure there are other books, books about musician or about the music business that you like. Do you have any particular favorites that you've read?
Yeah, I definitely have some favorites. I think High Fidelity is one of the, you know, the great novels about music, and the movie's actually great too. I mean, I have something against novels being made into movies, but I think that's a great case for it, because I think that more people know of that Nick Hornby novel from the movie instead of just the book. And the movie was really great. A classic one, I feel it's maybe not the best as far as like literature goes, but I'm with the band. Pamela Despars, yeah. It's just so neat because it really captures this piece of history. I mean, she really does a great job, like, describing what it was like at the time when rock stars were really becoming rock stars, because before that era, the late 60s and early 70s, there weren't rock stars in the sense of, you know, Led Zeppelin or Jimi Hendrix or you know, even Frank Zappa. I mean, these people who she was just hanging out with and just knew in a really casual manner.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, Allie. It really is, because we, you know, it's been so much of the culture since then that people forget there was a time when it wasn't that way. And when people talk about the problems that someone like Elvis Presley got into or different people, well, you know, there was no precedent. There was nobody to help him. All the people hangers-on, you know, they just wanted to keep it going to keep their piece of the pie, their paycheck coming in. But nobody had ever seen stuff like this, like the Beatles and the kind of crowds that they drew. And
there was
no rock stardom.
Yeah, that was a totally new thing at that time.
I mean, think about, you know, if you read a lot about music, and I like to read a lot of biographies and memoirs, there's, you know, like the Bobby Soxers that screamed for at Frank Sinatra concerts. Well, they were all paid $5 a piece by his manager to start it.
That's hilarious. $5 must have been pretty decent pay at that time, too.
Oh, my God. That'd be a fortune. So they all got paid, but this is a whole different world. We didn't have stuff like that. Maybe the 60s and the Beatles started the real rampage.
And I think they were as surprised as anybody. I mean, to see the connection their music had for people. I mean, I think they were just I don't think the word intimidated is the right word, but I think they were really surprised. And and at times didn't handle it well. I mean, and who can blame them? I mean, it's sort of shocking to go from, you know, playing your guitar, you know, at a club or playing your guitar around town, and then all of a sudden you can't walk down the street. I mean, that's a fairly shocking thing to happen.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of people it's not a good shock. I mean, maybe at first, but I think it becomes really inhibiting pretty quickly.
And the other problem is, I think you've seen people, my nature is not to badmouth anyone, but I think you see people like, you know, Kanye West, who has started believing his own hype. And his behavior is extremely poor and embarrassing to me as a musician. That kind of behavior is the reason that when I was first dating girls, my mother's like, "You're not dating a musician, they're crazy." And, you know, thanks a lot, Kanye. So he has just reinforced that whole idea. But I mean, you know, when you start believing your own hype and you're not grounded, I think having, and you know, so many musicians, and Allie, you probably know something about this, maybe even more than I do, but so I feel like a lot of musicians I've met, and one of the roles that I like to play is a source of encouragement, especially for my students. And so many people are not encouraged to do music and are not encouraged to follow that artistic bent. I mean, you know, and if you don't have a good support system and you go from, you know, living in a van down by the river to suddenly, you know, being the Beatles, I mean, that can be extremely hard to know how to handle. I mean, just from an emotional and intellectual standpoint, I mean, it's shocking. And so you look at these people like the American Idol, some of the American Idol stars like Ruben Studdard, who, you know, had it all and now has nothing again. I mean, it's just
yeah.
Insane.
Yeah.
Do you find that a lot of musicians like don't have support? I mean, when you interview people, how much do their families get behind what they're doing, do you think?
I think it's just so different case by case. I mean, I think that, but I do feel like a lot of the people who I get to talk to who seem to be the most grounded and have the most stability and continue are able to just continue their careers and not, you know, just go off the rails for whatever reason. I think that those tend to be the people who, if they don't have strong family support, they have great friend support. And also, I think it just takes, I think musicians have to find a lot of different tools to be able to deal with all the various stresses of being a full-time creative person. I keep having conversations with musicians about how important meditation is in their life.
Well, you know, here's I'll tell you what. This is I think that's great, and that's coming in more and more to play where people talk about things that keep them grounded, like meditation. There's not mm-hmm. There are still people that do everything to excess, but there's definitely a renaissance in the attitude. But there are a lot of musicians that you've interviewed over this time, Allie, and I know when I've interviewed people, when I had a music column and stuff, I had a show, there are some people that you really enjoy a lot and that you want to talk to again. And there are people who get to know you and really enjoy you. And I think you mentioned a group that you like a lot is called Songs of Water.
Oh, yeah, they're delightful.
Well, guess what? I have...
What?
I'll tell you. I have Stephen Roach on the line here.
Oh, no.
Surprise.
Thank you, But yes, she missed you as on the very, very short list, Stephen, of people that she really would like to interview again or talk with again.
Well, that's a great honor, and I have a ton of respect for Allie and for all the work that you do in North Carolina, being sort of a homegrown musician from the state of North Carolina. I'm glad that you found your way from New York to our state.
Yay!
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, me too.
Yeah, and I just wanted to call and congratulate you on your book, and maybe I could grab a copy of it at some point to keep in the van with us when we're on the road.
It would be my absolute honor to have a special Songs of Water copy out there. We'll make sure it happens.
Now, you're in Greensboro, Stephen? I'm sorry, you're in Greensboro?
Yes, we're in Greensboro in Winston-Salem, just a few hours down the hill from Asheville.
And do you and Allie, do you have a book signing set up there?
I don't, but maybe I should work on that.
I think that's a great idea.
I passed through Greensboro, so I have a good idea of where it is now. I was just driving through it yesterday.
Hey, you got people there that can help you out.
That's right. You see, Greensboro is like the little quiet city on the side of the road on your way somewhere else. But if you know the right folks, there's actually a pretty thriving literary scene here in town. So I think you should definitely come.
All right. Well, I will make it happen. And I'll bring your book with me.
And thank you. Thank you so much for calling to congratulate her, Steve. Well, we really do appreciate you doing this.
Thank you so much.
And tell us, do you have an announcement coming up about Songs of Water, a place you're and a special event?
Sure. Well, I just had the honor. Allie just wrote about us recently this year because we do have a new album that we've worked on for quite a while that's coming out on June 9th of this year. And then on the 12th, speaking of Greensboro, we decided to do our first album release concert here in town at the Carolina Theater. And that's a beautiful historic theater. It seats about 1,100 folks or so. And we're going to have a really big party. Molly Skaggs, who is Ricky Skaggs' daughter, she's a folk singer, and she's going to be opening the evening with us and just having a great time. And so, Allie, you're welcome to come to that as well. If you want to make the drive down the hill, we'll definitely put you on the list to be a part of that.
Thank you. That sounds wonderful, yeah.
And Stephen, did you all? Stephen, maybe we could talk you into coming back and being on the show sometime. You in the group?
Well, that sounds fun. Would be honored to do that. But thanks so much,
and
good luck
before
with your
you
book,
go.
Allie. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
thank you.
Have you met Joey Stuckey?
I don't think so.
Joey, this is
you haven't seen me. You haven't seen me driving, Steve. It's a pleasure to meet you.
No, but I bet some folks in our city would probably give you a run for the money in the way they drive here. So
I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty crazy. It's pretty erratic.
You haven't seen the video, have you, Stephen?
I can imagine.
No,
I think, Stephen, in addition to Allie providing you a book to go on the road with, I should be hired as your new bus driver or van driver.
Hey, you know, if you saw the way some of my bandmates drive this bus, I bet you'd I'd probably appreciate you driving more than them.
You know, Joey, we should concede right here. This is critical. A good attorney knows when to shut up and quit asking questions, and we're just going to send him a video. Let that be your application for the job.
That'll be my audition. Yeah. Be your driver is the video. All I'll say, Steven, is the great thing about paying a blind guy is I don't know if they're ones or hundreds. So it doesn't really matter.
I guess that could be beneficial for us. Now that's a selling point.
You know, if you're on a budget, I'm just saying. anything for you know, I realized a long time ago I couldn't be famous, so I settled for infamous. So anyway, if I can be of service, just let me know.
I'll get your number after the radio show.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, and Joey has a studio in Macon, Georgia, and we're doing all kind of hookups here tonight, Stephen. We're getting Allie booked all around, her husband, because put him up in jail.
Adam Perry.
Yeah. Hey. That girl's
you are the Madam.
I know.
Well, that all sounds wonderful, but I'm going to run, and Allie, good luck with the book, and thanks to you guys for having me on the air, and we hope
thank
to connect
you so
with you
much,
soon.
Thank you so much, Stephen. It was great to hear you.
Yeah, thanks. For sure.
Much luck to you, sweetheart. Right. Okay,
Take care. Bye-bye.
What a nice guy.
Super
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. Was that a surprise, Allie?
That was a huge surprise, and a very cool surprise, too.
Good. All right, well, we're going to stop just a minute now and play a song. In fact, I think we're going to play Blind Man Driving and take a break.
Oh,
that way you guys can go answer your email for 4 minutes and 56 seconds or get something to drink, and I'll be right back. And this is Joey Stuckey, the song Blind Man Driving.
Blind man driving.
Blind Man Driving by Joey Stuckey, and I'm Madam Perry here at Madam Perry Salon, welcoming my very fabulous guest, arts and entertainment editor, music journalist, and author Allie Marshall, and musician, producer, TV host, and making raconteur Joey Stuckey. So, Allie.
Yes.
Let's talk more about this book, because we've been having a good time and carrying on, and I feel like I'm having my Dick Cavett moment tonight. But we're talking, so we've established that How to Talk to Rock Stars, the name of your book, is not a tutorial, it's a novel.
That's
and
right.
The main character, Bren, is a music journalist, and she has going through experiences similar to what you or your friends that are journalists have done, going through with musicians. So tell us a little bit more about the plot, conflict. Draw us in.
Conflict. I guess the main conflict is kind of in Bryn's own her own shyness, and then figuring out how to sort of come out of herself so that she's able to conduct these interviews. It's not a novel with a lot of like huge plot twists and turns. It's kind of straightforward. It's really a story about the love of music. It's quiet and internal and thoughtful, and a lot about those thought processes that we all have about music and doubting ourselves and trying to figure out how to navigate the world. So no alien invasion in this one.
Okay. And I talk to a lot of authors, and I'm a book publicist. How do you feel from your point of view or experience the difference or the challenges in promoting a book that's published by an indie press?
Well, the main thing is that there's a lot of authors, and I think it's wonderful that there are more and more outlets for authors to get published. Everybody's not dependent on being able to get a contract with, Penguin or Random House. But I think it's similar to the music business where I feel like the publishing business is just maybe 10 or 15 years behind, and that being indie is still a little bit fringe with the publishing business, whereas in the music business, it's a lot more acceptable. But as it becomes less fringe, that the level of noise gets louder and louder, and it gets more and more challenging to be able to be heard through the noise of everybody putting everything out all the time in every way possible. So that's really the long and convoluted way of me just saying that the main challenge for being more of an independent author, an author on a small press, is getting publicity muscle and getting creative ways to be heard and to get the book in front of audiences, especially when there's bigger publishing companies with lots of money to back their authors.
Mm-hmm. That's true, because I usually, for the last few years, I've gone to Book Expo America in New York at this time of month. And, yeah, it's amazing the big seven or the big publishers that can afford to just give the books away there. And they do. They give away the advanced reader copies by the thousands just to get them in the hands of journalists or bookstore owners and such. And if not, yeah, you're right. Indie has taken off and it's lost its stigma and has practically become the way to do it in music. And it's losing, having a self-published or a small, it's getting that way too and writing in books, but it still lags behind. So you really, I think people forget the challenge of an author. Not only do you have to work so hard to get your book created, and let me tell you, I admire you both so much for what you do. I admire you for the idea, because I'm the same way. I've had this books that I'm working on, but I never quite get it to the publication, and I just have a lot of respect and admiration for you. But then it's like after that, your job is not done. You've still got to get out and hustle it too. And the same thing, for you, Joey. When I had my TV show, I used to back in the late '90s or early '90s, and I had a lot of local musicians on You know, I would get really, I got for a while where I kind of was a little more judgmental than I needed to be until I took guitar lessons. And then after that, anybody that could stand up and play at the same time, well, that was it. After I took lessons, I had my respect level went way up. So,
you know, the thing about the creative process, and something I really try to hone in on my students is that I really think it's important, even if you're not satisfied, I think it's important, and I'd like to hear what Allie thinks about this. I think it's important to finish what you started, at least to finish it. I mean, you can go back and make tweaks and all that kind of stuff, but I really believe that, like, for example, let's say I've got a song idea, and I follow it to its conclusion, and about two-thirds of the way through, it's not going well, and I kind of run out of steam. I try not to leave that as an incomplete song. I try to at least finish it because I feel like it helps me somehow obtain a catharsis of spirit so that I'm able to come, like to get that out of my soul, to get it into the light of day, and then to be able to come back and look at it and say, does it still move me? Is it still good? Is it still? And then if I don't like it, at least I finished it, and I can always plagiarize myself and borrow it and go, hey, man, that song that I couldn't finish would make a great bridge for this song. So, I mean, I really do think that our world is becoming so people's attention spans are so short, and like you're talking about in music and any kind of thing. I mean, you know, there's so much noise out there. It's hard. But a lot of my – I had a client today in the studio who has written some brilliant pieces but just never finishes anything. And it's like, you know, how can you grow and how can you move on to that next level if you don't finish? So I appreciate what you're saying. I also admire Allie for finishing what she started. And I think that's a great role model, not only for journalists and people that are artistic, but also just for young ladies. To see what's possible and to realize that, you know, you can do what you want to do. But I mean, what do you think, Allie? I mean, I feel like as a writer, as a composer, I work better, even if I end up hating it, I work better if I finish what I started.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think that's important on so many levels because I feel like it's important to get beyond the idea that we do things only to either gain fame or make money, because that's not what art is about anyway. I'm a big fan of Andrew WK's column in the Village Voice, and he had a great one recently where somebody was asking him how to be a successful musician, and he was saying basically that if you're in it for money or fame, then you might be a successful business person or a successful marketer, but you're not a successful musician. A musician is a person who makes music and keeps making music, and no matter what people say, or people tell you it's not good, or people tell you it won't sell, that's not it. Like, what you do is that you love what you do, and you keep doing it because you love it, and you pour your heart and soul into it, and you just keep coming back there and giving everything you have. And if you get success on the side, that's great. But to be a successful artist, no matter what your genre, you got to keep showing up. So, yeah, I'm with you 100%. Yeah, do the work. Finish the work.
Don't even worry about anything else. Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is there's two important other components to what you say. That the first thing is, you know, we all have different definitions of what success is. And if your definition is financial success, there's nothing wrong with that. You just need to be honest with yourself that that's important to you. For me, success is tonight talking with these two lovely ladies and you know, sharing thoughts and ideas. I mean, that I feel like I'm successful every day because I get a chance to share what I do with people, and people come to me to help to partner with them to help make their art, and that's very exciting. And the other thing is, you know, when you talk about, you know, doing the work and efficiency, you know, a lot of people do think that anyone can be a drummer, anyone can be an artist, anybody can be a writer, and they don't realize how many grueling hours that you put into, you know, to what you do, you know. And it's tough to do that, but I just think that, you know, if you can sort of realign your definition of what success is, and, you know, anytime you try to play catch up, you know, there are people that are way too – I'm a naturally analytical person, and as a Gemini, you'll understand this. I mean, you're like the old soul, the young soul at the same time, right? So, I mean, you know, but as an analytical person, I am very much a scientist in certain ways when it comes to sound. But as an analytical person, you know, a lot of people like to try and say, well, this song's going to be a hit because – and if we all had a scientific method to what was going to be a hit or what was not, then everybody would have a hit. You know, it's something that's nebulous and hard to define, and that's really the way it should be. But if you go out there and try to catch a wave, if you say, okay, vampire stories are hot right now, I'm going to write a vampire book. But, you know, by the time you get something worth reading done, vampires may not be the craze anymore. So trying to play catch-up, like, I just feel like you're always going to be playing catch-up. If the music you like is music from the 80s, play music from the 80s, eventually it'll be popular again. I mean, you know, I just don't think you should ever try to play catch-up and try to, like, ride what's popular. If you do what you love, other people will love it, too.
Yeah, totally agree.
So, and, you know, there's one thing that when you were talking, I asked you how long it took to write the book, but now that the book is finished, what do you think there's anything that you would do differently if you would start writing it now versus in 2012 when you wrote most of it?
I feel like I would have had a better answer for that earlier. I don't know. Sometimes I think that there are things I would do differently, and sometimes I think a project has to be finished at some point,
mm-hmm.
and there's kind of perfection and imperfection. So ultimately, I'm happy with it.
Well, let me ask you this: why now that the you know you're working and now that you're out meeting people and you know taking your book, taking your baby around to from the launch at Malaprops, which is a pretty big deal, to you know traveling, and then you're going to be in New York soon with it as well. Are you?
Right.
I think that's in June or July.
Yeah, end of June. June 30th.
End of June. You'll be at Word in Brooklyn, New York. Are you able to sometimes now just to relax and just feel the joy and the love of accomplishment and people enjoying what you do and appreciating it and wanting to buy it and read it? Are you able just to stop and enjoy that now?
Well, the book's only officially been out for 4 days, so not quite yet, but hopefully that'll be soon.
Yes, I hope so. I hope you'll get, because I know there's a lot going on and there's a lot of work involved before, during, and after. But I want you just to, I just want to know, you know, when you have that moment where you can just kind of relax and exhale for a moment and go, okay, I got this done. And, yeah, I did it. Allie Marshall, novelist. They're here to see me. Because you should. I think you're probably too modest to do that. But I think that that you should. You certainly earned it. Isn't that right, Joey?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, listen, if you I don't know that I've ever had a relaxing moment, but I basically have two speeds, just full speed ahead and off. So, but you know, it is tough to find that moment of grace for yourself where you can sit back and just enjoy the experience because sometimes you're so focused on getting it done. And the recent trip I just had in the UK was so life-changing in so many ways. You know, working at University College of London, and I met some people that are truly like new lifelong friends that I just love with all my heart. And they're just that was the fun part. That was the part where I got to sit back and go, "Wow, these people get me. We're you know simpatico, and it's a beautiful thing." But most of the time, I was so busy working. Like I look back on the trip now and go, "Did I dream that or did I really do it?" It almost has an unreal quality.
Because I would think as long as you've been in the business, Joey, you know, still, you probably, even though some things are more more almost routine and like some things aren't the big surprise, you know what to do, you know which way to take this or that in a certain direction, you know how to handle certain problems that come up. But yet still, there's that moment of excitement that you can enjoy, like on that trip, as you described.
Yeah, I try to maintain a sense of wonder. And this is something that I don't know if Allie's ever really experienced this. I think this may be, you know, I don't know if writers have an equivalent. But, you know, there are songs that people want to hear you play and that you sort of become known for playing. And a lot of artists are like, no, we're not playing that song. We hate that song. You know, R.E.M. is and Amy Mann are two of my favorite groups. And they're classic examples of artists that refuse to play some of the songs that got them where they are sometimes. And I'm not bashing them, but I don't agree with that. I try to imagine that it's the first time I've ever played. If somebody wants to hear me play a song I've played 1,000 times, I always try to approach it like it's the first time that I've ever played it. Because I think that's what being a professional is. I think that's what – I think if you're going to be a professional – and let's clarify here that part of being a musician is also being an entertainer. I think if you're going to be a professional entertainer and that's going to be part of how you win your bread, then you need to be able to suck it up and go, I love this song, you know, even if you don't really. You know.
I'm so glad you asked for this one.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. This is what I've been waiting for all night. Yes. So, you know, I do think that there is, as my wife would say, you got to pull up your big girl panties and deal with it, you know. So I think you've just.
She's right.
I think there's a time. Yeah, I think there's a time for that. But I do try to approach everything I do with a sense of wonder. And you got to, you know, I'm perfectly suited for what I do. There are days that we spend 8 or 10 hours a day working on one song. And some of my clients, you know, get burned out or they get tired. They're like, boy, I bet you're sick of hearing this song. I'm like, nope, just trying to get it right. You know, I mean, so I really don't get tired. I don't get burned out like that. I never have. And I think part of it is that sense of wonder that I always try to bring to whatever I do. And I always try to find something engaging or positive in what I'm doing. And yeah, sometimes they're harder than others.
Well,
but,
I hope you never lose. I like that sense of wonder. Hope you never do. I hope Allie never does. And
she won't.
Hope I don't. And that's what I say. Thanks to everybody that's listening. You know what? This started off as an hour show, and then I found with certain guests you have so much fun you don't want to stop. So I went ahead and booked out an hour and a half in the studio, and I'm glad I did because we've got about 3 minutes left. So, folks, Allie, please come back sometime. And you know you've got Joey and I are on your team now.
We are
all right.
For better or for worse.
Thank you so much. And I'm fans of both of you as well.
Oh, good. So believe me, when Joey says he's got the Macon connection for you, he is not fibbing. He's legit. And I'll certainly do my part on this end because I don't want him to outshine me on the Allie Marshall support
team.
Well,
plus I have those compromising photos as well. So that's...
Look,
I've got your
friends out. Portugal, everybody was topless on the beach, okay? Everybody.
That's
and
what you said.
Awkward.
Yeah,
I know. He comes out with this stuff. It's like you never know. Do I just hit the mute on his microphone or do I just keep
that
on
would
going?
Be safe.
Yeah.
I would mute me. If I were you, I would mute me. I totally would.
I think I'm gonna do it now, Joey. So why don't you go ahead and say goodbye to the people and give your last thing. Tell them where they can see you and your website. And
It's the shameless plug is joeystuckey.com, and all things me are there. Probably some things I don't want to be there too. But anyway, please do visit and do check out Blind Man Driving. You can find it on YouTube if you search Joey Stuckey official Blind Man Driving video. It honestly is worth about 4 minutes of your time. I think it's pretty funny, and I want to thank the Bibb County. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I want to thank the Bibb County Sheriff's Department for coming out and playing. I mean, the Bibb County Sheriff's Department actually came out and loaned us a car and an officer, Captain Chris Patterson, to come out and chase me through Macon, and the guy that shot the video, Ed Holloman, is just fantastic. He did a great job.
He's
amazing. So thanks to everybody for calling in, and Jennifer, seriously. Thanks to you. You are an incredible person and a dear friend, and I love what you're doing.
Thank
Allie's
you,
an absolute – Allie, you're welcome. Allie's an absolute delight, and I thank y'all so much.
All right, Allie,
thank you.
Here's your 60 seconds.
Well, thanks to everybody for listening and Jennifer for having me on. This has been a lot of fun. It's been great to meet Joey as well, and anyone interested in how to talk to rock stars – can find it on my website, which is allie-marshall.com. Two L's in both Allie and Marshall. And my publisher is logosophiabooks.com. They are currently, I think through the end of May, selling the book is for sale with free shipping. That's worth knowing. And also look for it in independent bookstores and on all the usual online retailers. Yeah, I really enjoyed being here. It's always great to have conversations about music and art. So thanks so much for including me.
Thanks. And am I the luckiest girl in the world or what to have both of you guys here? Thank you both. Allie Marshall, Joey Stuckey, this is Madame Perry Salon. If you want to be a sponsor, hey, I could turn a buck at this. You know, this will be great. Give me a call or message me. If you want to know more about my guest, you can just check on my Madame Perry Salon site, too, and I'll have all kinds of stuff about it. And now here is, here is my husband.